Well, I feel a little bit honored to be asked to present this, and I'm delighted to be able to help out Brian. In true UU fashion, he emailed this draft of this presentation to me just before he left town, and I printed it out and started reading it, and I got to the 20-minute mark, which is our standard Sunday morning presentation, and there were still 3 pages to go. Now, to Brian's credit, he acknowledged that he hadn't cut it down for length yet and gave me permission to do so. And I think I've been successful, so we'll see how this goes. This year, and for the past few years, we have witnessed a series of natural disasters around the world, as well as man-made disasters. Unnecessary and unending wars, the collapse of the world economic system, the loss of millions of jobs and businesses, a growing polarization within our own country, and financial crisis extending down to our own community and even our church. Right here in America, where chaos is supposed to be held at bay by the rampant computerization of everything, by more than half the world's lawyers, by a Department of Homeland Security, a Patriot Act, and the blessing of God, we often feel that our society is teetering on the brink of chaos. And it's only by a quirk of fate that we have avoided slipping over the edge. In grave times like this, we need a good laugh now and then to maintain our sanity. We need to try defying gravity. The third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh." So for today, we are going to laugh. In fact, we are going to laugh at ourselves and our own situation, our own religion. Perhaps then, we will not take ourselves so seriously that we end up torturing heretics, burning witches, ordering the death of someone in a faraway place who has made a small joke about our religion, or going to war over which end of a soft-boiled egg you should crack with your spoon. Perhaps when we see what there is to laugh about in ourselves, we will have a bit more empathy when we find amusement in the situations of others. I grew up Methodist, or at least Brian did, and he did grow up in Mule Shoe, Texas, after all. And many UU jokes were Methodist jokes when I was at church camp in the 60s. Some are also Presbyterian, Episcopalian, and Congregationalist jokes, which probably illustrates that we are all more alike than different. One difference in Methodist jokes is the inclusion of biblical references, such as, "You just might be a Methodist if, on your desk, you have a Bible that has never been opened." Of course, some say that the Unitarian Universalist Church is merely a way station between Methodism and the golf course. Since joining BUF, I've tried to analyze the basic difference between Methodism and UUism. The best way I can say it is that Methodists have a weak belief in the infinite, while UUs have a strong belief in the indefinite. It seems that God heard Boise was going the way of all flesh and sent an angel down to investigate. The angel reported back that indeed 90% of the city's inhabitants were more sinful than those of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the remaining 1% were struggling. God considered what to do for the 1% and finally decided to send them a letter, laying out his plans, encouraging them to keep the faith, And of course, you know what that letter said. If you don't, I'll show you my copy after the service. One Sunday, a visitor walked into the back of our church and sat down. From time to time during the songs and Elizabeth's sermon, he jumped up and shouted, "Amen, sister, hallelujah!" He even clapped his hands. This startled everyone, but Elizabeth went on. Some grew restless, others were visibly annoyed. Finally, Jay Wexelberger walked over to the man and whispered, "Sir, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but that's not really our tradition here." The man replied, "But I got religion, brother. Amen, I got religion." "Well," said Jay, "you certainly didn't get it here." A visitor to a UU church told a friend the only time he heard the name Jesus Christ mentioned was when the janitor fell down the stairs. George Reno was hiking in the mountains. He fell off a cliff and managed to grab a tree branch on his way down. He shouted, "Help!" And a deep, booming voice from somewhere above said, "I can help you, my son." "Who are you?" "I'm God, your heavenly Father." "Well, okay, please, God, help me up." "If you have faith, let go of the branch and I will lift you up." George thought about it for a moment and then said, "Is there anyone else up there?" Jesus and a UU were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. The UU dropped his pole in the water, so Jesus got out of the boat, walked across the water to retrieve it. When the UU got home, he told his friends, "Jesus is a nice guy, but he can't swim a lick." A UU married a Jehovah's Witness, and their children went door to door looking for a good discussion. Myself, I'm a dyslexic agnostic insomniac. I lie awake nights wondering if there's a dog. I'm not sure if I'm a UU, which probably proves beyond doubt that I am. Garrison Keillor wonders, what does a Unitarian call out during orgasm? How many UUs does it take to change a light bulb? It doesn't matter. They'll discuss it so long, it'll never get screwed in anyway. Or none. We accept the bulb the way it is. Or three, one to change the bulb, the other two to make sure the power doesn't go to the first one's head. Why did the UU cross the road? To support the chicken in its quest for its own path. A little UU girl was sitting on her front porch sobbing. A kindly neighbor woman came over and asked what was wrong. She said, "My kitty cat died." The woman said, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm sure your kitty is with Jesus." The little girl looked up and said, "What would Jesus want with a dead cat?" Sorry, I like that one. A Unitarian boy married an Amish girl and drove her buggy. It was really short, so I left it in. A woman bought a new Toyota Prius. She worked hard for it, had waited a long time for her dealer to get one in. She really loved it, and she wanted it blessed. So she went to her priest, and he said, "A blessing for a car? No, that's really a bit out of my domain. Why don't you go see the Unitarian minister?" So she did. And Elizabeth said, "Oh, a Prius? I have one. I just love it. It's such a technological tour de force with its hybrid synergy drive, the electric motor that recharges when you step on the brakes. It's one of the cleanest, most fuel-efficient cars on the road, but you have to be careful on sharp corners. If you push it too hard, it will understeer. Now, what was it you wanted?" "Oh, a blessing? What's that?" "What's a UU's idea of a three-piece suit?" "A tie-dyed t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans." "Oh, I'm sorry, that's just Joe Wexelberger's idea." "How are a UU and a Quaker alike?" "It's hard to get the truth from either one of them. The UU is still searching for it, and the Quaker knows it, but he won't talk about it." The prison warden visited a death row inmate the night before his execution. He said, "Usually at this point, people in your position find comfort in talking to a member of the clergy. Would you like me to send the prison chaplain over?" The convict replied, "Well, warden, I was raised Unitarian." The warden said, "Well then, would you like to talk to a math professor?" What do the UU Church and Count Dracula have in common? Both have connections to Transylvania, and both shy away from the cross. Three children on the playground were talking about their religions. The little Catholic boy said, "The symbol of my church is the cross on which Jesus died." The Jewish boy said, "The symbol of my religion is the star from the shield of King David." And the Unitarian girl said, "The symbol of my religion is a candle in a martini glass." The river was rising and a serious flood was expected. The Baptists prayed. The Mormons got busy filling sandbags. And the UUs organized a class on how to live underwater. The first UU said, "Have you heard about our new 11-step program for control freaks?" Second UU, "11-step? I thought those programs always had 12 steps. What happened to the 12th step?" First UU, "I'm not going to tell you." I wasn't sure about that one. A leader in one of our local Baptist churches came down with smallpox, and he was in bad shape. And he called Elizabeth and asked her to come visit him. And she was quite flattered. Sitting beside his hospital bed, she asked, "Why didn't you call the Baptist minister?" And he replied, "I didn't want him to get smallpox." The top 10 reasons for believing you might be a Unitarian. Number 10, your best dress shoes are a pair of sandals. Number 9, you've had an argument over whether breast milk is vegan. And number 8, when you dress for a formal evening, you wear a little black dress, pearls, and Birkenstocks, and your wife thinks you look great. Number 7, you're unsure about the gender of God. Number 6, you own 6 pair of Birkenstocks, and your favorite pair needs to be thrown away. Number 5, The money you sent to the Sierra Club last year was more than you spent on your family's Christmas presents. Number four, you think the Holy Trinity is reduce, reuse, and recycle. Number three, you study the 10 suggestions instead of the 10 commandments. Number two, the money you sent to the Sierra Club last year was more than you pledged to your church. Number one, you believe argument is one of the official UU sacraments. Of the many religious books in the world, Judaism has the Torah, Islam has the Quran, Christianity has the Bible, and the Unitarian Universalists have Robert's Rules of Order. And Lauren Bergeson is our keeper of the Holy Book. And Jesus said to the UU Christians, yes, we do have UU Christians, Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? They replied, you are the scatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma in which we find the ultimate meaning of our interpersonal relationships. And Jesus said, say what? A Hindu, a Jew, and a Unitarian were traveling together one night. A huge storm came up and their car stalled in a rain-swollen creek. They found shelter at a nearby farmhouse. But the farmer told them he only had room for two in the house. One would have to stay in the barn. The Hindu volunteered. As the other two got ready for bed, the Hindu knocked on the door and said, I'm sorry, but there's a calf out there, and I know it's being raised for slaughter. I cannot spend the night in such a place. The Jew volunteered to go. And in a few minutes, he was back at the door. I'm sorry, but there's a pig out there, and I know it's being raised for slaughter. So the Unitarian said, okay, I should have volunteered in the first place. He picked up his blanket and pillow and headed for the barn. After a few minutes, there was another knock at the door. It was the calf and the pig. I have occasionally joked that we are the Seinfeld of churches, a church about nothing. And some of in this congregation have taken strong exception to that, but religion as it originally existed in native tribal cultures around the world was the glue that held the culture together. The mythology, the metaphor that explained our origins, our identity, our common purpose. What we call religion in America today often isn't much more than a sideline for most Americans, a hobby, one of the many diverse activities we rush to and from to fill the human need for society. Many Americans practice the rather vague, tenuous religion of Americanism, which incorporates modernism, materialism, jingoism, militarism, a few other isms, and a whole lot of machismo. But we are social animals, and as loose and disjointed and value-challenged as our society has become, I suspect that this is only a temporary situation, and that sooner or later we will need that instinctive connection imperative in order to survive as a society or as a species. As for the role of the Unitarian Universalist Church, the late Reverend Forrest Church said, what we are seeing today is an influx of people who are escaping secularism. These are people who are coming to us because they want to be more religious than before, not less religious. That's a switch. And an anonymously written UU article that I picked up from the website of the UU Fellowship of Macon County, Georgia, said, "There is a thread of truth in the jokes. They are directed at the fact that we do not have either a creed or a dogma. That means only that there is no single statement of belief to which we insist that all people subscribe. It does not mean that Unitarian Universalists are non-believers. Nothing could be further from the truth. Many people wonder what binds us together. One of the answers is our shared values. Surveys show that Unitarian Universalists enjoy the highest percentage of shared values of any denomination in the United States. Our values speak to the respect for the dignity and freedom of every individual. They speak to a reverence for life and the environment that surrounds and supports and nurtures all of us. They speak to the oneness of all humanity. Our attitude is that we are all at the base of the same mountain, each seeking her or his own separate path to the top. This attitude adds to the respect for every individual. Perhaps we're here because we all live on the brink of chaos. Look at the victims of a natural disaster. Where would they be if not for other individuals, organizations, and government agencies to help them out? But having been a Red Cross disaster volunteer myself, what impressed me was that generally, well before we got there with our help, the people were helping each other. On some occasions, there wasn't all that much left for the Red Cross to do. I've heard it said, the problem with being alone is that when you fall down, there's no one to help you up. If you don't believe that, just ask Greg Duffy. That's probably why we gather here in this place. So tomorrow on Independence Day, go ahead and celebrate your independence together with all those other independent beings with whom you are so inextricably interconnected. Thank you.